Well, good morning, Crossroads. It is a joy to be worshiping with you. You know what? I'm thankful for technology that allows us to continue to focus on the Word and to worship together, even in this live stream format. But just wanted to take a moment to explain a little bit of what's going on. Many of you have received an email already and some communication from us as a staff, but we just wanted to actually speak it with one of our pastors. We found out Saturday afternoon, that Pastor Matt Boyers tested positive for COVID-19. In that process, we've been kind of scrambling around to make sure that we are doing everything and following guidelines from our health department and CDC and local doctors. And because of that, we decided to move our services this Sunday to online. And we are actually closing our office doors for until Wednesday this week, and we're canceling all Wednesday night activities. And we're not panicking, and we're not in a sense of fear, but this is just for us to try and take an abundance of caution and to protect our people and to keep everyone safe. For those of you that are wondering, Pastor Matt is doing well. He's recovering at home right now with, at this point, just mild symptoms. But we do want to encourage you to pray for him and to pray for any of those that might have had close contact, and but just continue to pray for all of our people that are struggling with this. But we're excited this morning to worship together. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call us. And the staff will be working from home this week. As you can see, I'm even recording this from my house. But we will be worshiping together, and we are available if you have any questions about what our future protocols will be. Otherwise, enjoy our service this morning. You'll be hearing this morning from a live stream from our Pastor Tyler Amberge, who is from Living Grace. You've heard him speak before, but he is already tracking with us in the same sermon series. And Pastor Matt was supposed to speak this morning, but Tyler will bring the message, and you guys are going to enjoy it. We love you, church, and we're looking forward to a great morning to worship together. And please be in prayer for Pastor Matt and his family. Thank you.
I read a story from July of 2018 about a teenager in England who received a commendation from her local police department. And according to the posting of this commendation from the local police department of Northumbria in England, this teenager was receiving a commendation from, the police department for her work in what she did. And for a surprising reason, she was being commended for writing over 40 notes of encouragement and posting it and placing them on a bridge in the town to help people that were in the midst of mental crisis. And, she posted those notes at a place where people were known to jump off that bridge. And literally, the police department reported that literally her notes meant the difference between life and death for at least six people. And as I read that story, I thought about Proverbs 18:21 that says the tongue has the power of life and death. That our words, our speech, the things that we say has the power of life and death. Our words matter. And we've been in this series, The Church on Display, and we've been, exploring, the church on display and how the church is on display. And we've been talking about how that's on display and how we live out our union with Christ. And that's exemplified, that's made evident by how we live out, how we practice the one another's of Scripture. And last week, what we spoke about was our words and how our words matter. Our words have power. We talked about speaking the truth in love, and that how when we speak the truth in love, we're helping to challenge out of that love, out of that relationship built. We're helping to build up and to edify, to encourage a fellow brother and sister, and essentially we're helping them to mature in their relationship with Christ. And that not only builds up the individual, but it builds up the church. Today, again, Paul is highlighting this idea of how our words matter, what we say matters. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and we're going to even look into verse 30, but I'm going to focus on verse 29 right now, because verse 29 says this: "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And I'm going to be in the NIV version of the Bible today. So if that sounded or read a little different from your ESV translation that we normally look at, don't be alarmed. I'm in the NIV. But I want to focus on that because I think Scripture gives us some really great points in this, and especially what Paul is talking here. The main idea, the main context, if we recall from the book of Ephesians, is that one of the main themes is that Christ has united all people from all nations. So he's reunited them to himself and to one another within his church. And so the big idea, the main point that Paul is saying here in verse 29 is that our words matter. Our words have power, and that in the church, we are to only speak words that build up, that encourage one another. But the problem is that doesn't always happen, does it? You know, when we have disagreements, when we disagree with a certain brother or sister about their political views, or when we practice this, or when we, you know, speak harshly with people that maybe in our family or with one another within the church or maybe to a neighbor, our words, sometimes we have the ability and we try to excuse or even give concession to careless speech. But all the while, going back to Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. What we say has the power of life and death. It can bring life and build people up, or it could bring destruction and tear them down. But thankfully, Scripture doesn't leave us high and dry on this subject. Scripture doesn't leave us, you know, in a place where we go, how then should I progress from here? What should I do in how I speak? You know, how does that come into play? Scripture actually gives us a plethora of information on how we speak and what we choose to say, and guardrails even, and how we say things and what to put into practice. And so there's a lot of wisdom in Scripture about our speech, and that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to use this primary text of Ephesians 4, verse 29, kind of as our anchor for this. But we're going to be in Proverbs, we're going to be in the book of James, we're going to look at what Jesus's words are in Luke chapter 6, and so we're going to be bouncing around a little bit. But the primary text I want us to focus on today is Ephesians 4, 29. And that very first part, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So I want to focus on that very first part. Do not let. There's a command here. There's a lot of strong words here. And what I think the first point that I want to say about wisdom from Scripture, I think that it's inherent right in that very first few lines, is that there's this idea of committing to restraint. That first point of wisdom from Scripture about our speech is to commit to restraint. Commit to restraint. You know, he's saying, do not. That's like, you know, that's restraining. That's kind of, if you want to put it in kind of common language, it's biting your tongue. He's saying, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. There's a commitment to restraint. And if we look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 27, it says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. If we think of that great passage in James chapter 1, verse 19, where it says, everyone should be quick to listen, what? Slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so the idea there, the underlying premise in Scripture of wisdom about our speech, is to commit to restraint. When it comes to our speech, the less we say, committing to restraint, you know, stewarding our tongues, guarding our speech, that's what we need to do in speaking only things that build one another up within the church out of our unity with Christ and one another within his body. And so I want us to go to James chapter 3 and just think about what James chapter 3 verses 5 through 6 says. It says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And recently, we've seen some of the devastating effects that forest fires have had on some of the states out west. And in some instances, these fires were started by something that was small or seemingly insignificant. And the picture that James is kind of illustrating here in James chapter 3 is that without exercising restraint in our speech, we can cause an inferno of pain and destruction in our lives, in others' lives, and also within the life of the church. I want to illustrate that with our culture. When we look at our culture today, we can see this idea that restraint with words and with our speech is pretty lacking, right? You only need to go on social media just for a couple moments, and you'll see this being painted very vividly, and it's a real thing. We see it in presidential debates. We see it in the news. We see it in how people speak to one another on the streets. Commitment to restraint is pretty much lacking in our culture in how we speak to one another. And it's easy then to say, okay, in the church, we sit in judgment. We think that the problem is exterior to our community or to our church walls. But the reality is we no longer, you know, we don't need to really look that far to see that there's a problem. And it's not just in our culture, it's within our church as well. The idea of committing to restraint and how we speak to one another. And if the last 6 months have taught us anything, I think it's taught us that us as Christians, we need to get a handle on the destructive tendency that our tongues possess. Two areas where I think that this is made extremely evident in within church community, also within our culture, but I'm going to focus here on the church community because I'm speaking to us, is two areas where I think that this is purely made evident is in the issue of gossip, and it's also in the issue of how we construct and how we construe ourselves on social media. So I want to give us a way to apply this, to put this teaching into practice, this idea, this wisdom from Scripture of committing ourselves to restraint in our speech. What does that look like? How do we do that? Do I just, you know, bite my tongue and move along? What does that look like? Well, I want to give us a practical outflow of this. And the first thing is, like, just in the issue of gossip, you know, to say, you know, if it's not going to build somebody up, if it's not edifying to the body or to that person, that, you know, I commit to restraint in how I speak in that area of gossip. But I want to hone in really on this issue, this idea of social media, because I think one way that we really go off the rails and we allow Satan a foothold in church, in the body of Christ, is in how we conduct ourselves on social media. And so I want to give us a challenge. From now until November 8th, after the election, to just do a media fast. And what I mean by a media fast is in essence, anytime we talk about a fast, it's giving up something and then replacing it with something else that's going to benefit our spiritual walk. It's going to focus us more on Jesus. It's going to focus on things that edify and build up within us so that we might build others up around us. And so the idea of fasting from social media and this idea of abstaining from it and then replacing it with something better. And so I'm going to talk about the something better later, but here, maybe a practical way of committing to restraint is in the area of social media, fasting from social media, because one of the places where I see our lack of restraint, and this isn't just our church, it's everywhere, is on social media. And so maybe it might behoove us really in our witness and being the church on display is to commit to restraint in taking a break from social media from now until after the election, even going to November 8th. And so the first wisdom or area of wisdom that we see in Scripture when it comes to our speech is the commitment to restraint. And I think the second piece of wisdom that we see here within this first part here of Ephesians chapter 4 is the commitment to not speak worthless things. The commitment to not speak worthless things. And so if we go back to that verse, Ephesians 4 verse 29, the first part of it, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Maybe if you have your Bible and you want to highlight, circle, star that unwholesome, that word unwholesome, it's actually the Greek word is sapros. And sapros, Jesus uses this in a few different places. In Luke 6, when he's talking about the bad fruit, you know, and in Matthew chapter 13, when he gives the parable and talking about bad fish, he uses this word sapros. And sapros, it can mean bad or rotten, evil, but it can also mean worthless. And when we think about the idea of building something, right, you don't use worthless things. You use things that are sound, that are good. And so I think this idea of worthless, you know, not letting any worthless talk come out of our mouths. I think that this is what Paul is conveying here, this idea of something that's worthless. Because what Paul is saying is that our words matter. You know, and he's saying, commit to restraint. Don't let worthless things come out of your mouths. And sometimes that might mean biting your tongue, right? Sometimes that might mean biting your tongue. Think about what Proverbs 17:28 says. It says, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent. Or Ecclesiastes 3:7, where it says that there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. And so, you know, restraint is a virtue, and so is silence. Silence is a virtue. Now, we've probably all heard it said while we were growing up, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all, don't say anything at all. You've probably even repeated that kind of proverbial saying to your own kids, or maybe even your grandkids or nieces or nephews or somebody else. But the reality is we probably heard that saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. I know that that was said to me on many occasions growing up. And the reality is I think that's kind of goes along with what Paul is saying here. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Commit to restraint. You know, bite your tongue. Don't say worthless things. And sometimes that means being silent. Now, I know the temptation could be is that if silence is a virtue, then the question is, as some may ask, is then by my silence, am I approving or condoning the actions of another person that are wrong? You know, if I'm keeping silent, then I'm condoning something. And I think that, you know, the idea of that, I think the premise is true, but if you go back to the idea of what we talked about last week, the idea of speaking truth in love to one another, that's why it's so important that we do that. Yeah, silence is a virtue, and sometimes I just need to keep my mouth shut, because the reality is that when I have a relationship bridge that I can speak that truth in love, it's better received, it's better heard. But if I'm talking to somebody and they're doing something and I need to address that something, but I don't have that relationship bridge, it's going to miss. It's not going to help in building somebody up. It's going to tear them down. It's going to cause friction. It's going to cause hurt. It's going to cause pain. It's going to cause disunity. Paul's saying here, commit to restraint. There's wisdom in that. And there's wisdom in not letting any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, not letting anything that's worthless come out of your mouth. And sometimes there's virtue in just the silence of it. Now, that command, do not speak worthless or unwholesome things, right? It ties into verse 30, which I think goes right along with this passage. Verse 30 in chapter 4 of Ephesians says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That idea of do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, there's the same command, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And how do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? When we allow worthless things, unwholesome talk to come out of our mouths, when we don't commit to restraint. I like how a commentator that I read on this passage said it this way: the Holy Spirit is grieved when his work of making us and others holy is hindered by the speech of those who should be his instruments in his work. You get what he's saying? In other words, the Holy Spirit is grieved when the people who should be building one another up and encouraging one another and spurring one another on to holiness, being the hands and feet, the mouthpiece of God, and working and building unity within the church, the Holy Spirit is grieved when the opposite takes place, when we tear each other down, when we allow worthless things to come out of our mouths and we don't commit to restraint. It destroys the work of the Holy Spirit in forming Christian community. It destroys the work. It grieves the heart of God. It stifles the ministry and the witness of the church, because the church it's on display. And when we don't commit to restraint, when we allow unwholesome, worthless things to come out of our mouths, what happens? The church is on display, and it's not a good display. So the wisdom of Scripture is commit to restraint. Commit to not letting worthless things come out of your mouths. And then the final wisdom or piece of wisdom from Scripture about our speech is to commit to speaking only what builds up. Commit to speaking only what builds up. We're going to go to that last part there, verse 29. He's saying, don't let that unwholesome, worthless talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Paul's saying here that wisdom of Scripture in this passage, speak only those things that build up. And if we go back to that idea of Proverbs, 18:21 that says the tongue has the power of life and death, right? There's death in what we speak. There's life in what we speak. The tongue has the power of both. And it's our restraint, committing to restraint and committing to not allowing worthless things to come out of our mouths. So then the other side is left of commit to building up one another, speaking only things that build one another up. And so I think the book of Proverbs gives us some great practical guardrails in our speech of how do we speak these things? How do we recognize the power of the tongue, the power of life and death that it has? How do we recognize that? How do we stay within the guardrails in our speech? And so as an application point, if you're using the YouVersion Bible app, you'll see a picture that has basically a diagram. It's going to list off some scripture. It's going to talk about on one side, do not speak death, and on the other side, speak life. And so there's the do and the do not sections on each of this image that you can see that has some scripture associated with it. And I want to challenge us as a way to apply this is to study the graphic. And we're going to also put this on, we'll put it on social media. We'll also take it off of social media in other places because I'm asking you to abstain from social media. So we're going to give it to you in other forms as well so that you can use this, put it in your Bible, maybe print it off at home and put it in your Bible. Use it as a way of studying this idea, this concept, because Scripture has so much to say about our speech. But these guardrails and Proverbs, I want to encourage us, maybe as you're studying them, maybe mark them in your Bible. Maybe highlight them, put a star by them, circle them. If you want to draw a tongue in the margin of your Bible, it's up to you, however you want to do it. But take some time and just really dig into these verses of both the do not speak part of the verses and also the do speak part of the versions. And I want to encourage you just to study those and internalize those, meditate on them. And even the scriptures that we're digging in today, take those and also study those, especially in how we speak, because the tongue has the power of life and death. And so, for instance, these guardrails that we talk about in Proverbs, like Proverbs 10:10, it says, whoever winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin, right? A chattering fool comes to ruin. The idea that if we're foolishly chattering, if we're foolishly talking, that it leads to destruction, it leads to death, right? The tongue has the power of life and death. Or verse 20 in that same chapter of Proverbs 10 says, the lips of the righteous nourish many, right? The idea that our lips, our speech is nourishing. And so it has the power of life. We can go to Proverbs 11:12. The first part of it says that whoever derides their neighbor has no sense. Whoever derides or ridicules or mocks, they have no sense, leads to death. It's destruction. The next part of that verse in Proverbs 11:12, it says, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue, right? There's life. Going to Proverbs 12:18, first part of that says, the words of the reckless pierce like a sword. The tongue is the power of life and death, pierces like a sword. But verse 18, the next part of that, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue has the power of life and death. See, when we speak life-giving words, words that build up, words that give grace to those who are hearing it, we're participating with the work of God through the Holy Spirit, literally being the mouthpiece of his divine grace in the life of others. And instead of grieving the Holy Spirit, we're bringing honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And all of this flows from our union with Christ. See, the ability to restrain our tongues and speak life-giving words, it corresponds to our union with Jesus. Think about what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. He says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. Out of the abundance, or in some versions, the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in other words, if my heart is full of rotten, worthless things, rotten, worthless things are going to come out. If my heart is full of good things, life-giving things, those things are going to come out as well. What is within my heart comes out in my words. And I think that that's why it's so important when we study Scripture, when we practice the four P's, when we ponder God, we pour out, we petition, and we praise, that those two middle ones are so extremely important, because when I pour out, I'm pouring out what's within my heart, all the junk that's crudding up my heart. I'm pouring that out. I'm repenting of it. I'm getting it out there. I'm venting it. And then I'm petitioning the Holy Spirit to fill me with those things that are of God, right? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the peace that comes, through the peace of Christ, the love and forgiveness and all those things. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to fill me with those good things. And out of the overflow, the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. Going back to James chapter 3, think about what James writes in chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. He says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in his image. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And I love that imagery that James uses here, because just as absurd as it is that fresh water would come out of the salt water, just as absurd as it is that a fig tree would bear olives or that a grapevine would bear figs, just as absurd as those things are, it's equally absurd that out of the Christian, out of our mouths, a Christian who's united with Christ and to other Christians in his body, that we would speak death. James is using that imagery here. And I think going back to our challenge of our social media challenge and fasting from that, when we're fasting, we are intentionally abstaining. We're getting rid of something and we're replacing it with something else, something better, something that's going to, align us more with Christ. And so this is the something better that I want to challenge us with to replace when we fast from social media for this season. When we're fasting, and if you have to use social media for your job, I totally understand, but maybe commit to restraint in how you use social media. But, that's between you and the Lord. But if you commit to this, you're replacing it with something good. Maybe a great way for you to do this, to replace with something good, is whenever you get the urge to go on social media or speak something that might be gossipy, consider the speech guardrails that you can find here that will be emailed to you, that you'll have, these speech guardrails that are in Proverbs. Consider them, memorize them, study them, meditate on them, internalize them, replace them, cultivate your union with Christ, and see how that will change, how that will affect and come out in your speech, because out of the overflow, the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. Cultivate. Build that unity with Jesus in order to build up and encourage your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. See, the big idea that I want you to walk away with, and I hope you got throughout this whole time, is that our words matter. Our words, they have the power of life and they have the power of death. And so commit to pleasing the Lord by encouraging one another out of your union with Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your scripture that gives us, guardrails. It helps us to understand how we ought to speak to one another, how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to, restrain and bridle even our tongue in the things that we say. God, I pray that you would help us in committing to restraint, that you would help us to commit to not speak worthless things, and that you would help us to commit to only speaking things that will build up and encourage, all the while thinking through and working through the idea in the encouragement of Scripture that tells us that we need to speak the truth in love and that we need to encourage one another. Help us as we live out these one another's and being the church on display in our personal lives as well as in the life of our church body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.